5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the Hull Show live from the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Brady Hull, joined across from the bulletproof glass on gel. Angel, let's get to it, man. I got a lot of fun stories today. Let's get to today in the NFL. You were wondering how the Amazon Prime thing was received, according to ESPN and the Associated Press. Amazon Prime's video, first regular season game as the exclusive home of Thursday Night Football, was a big hit. It was huge. The Chiefs, it was a good game, too. The Chiefs beat the Chargers 27-24. Last Thursday, averaged 15.3 million viewers across all platforms, according to Nielsen and Amazon's first-party measurement. Prime Video Vice President Jay Marine said in a note to staff earlier this week that our measurement shows that the audience numbers exceeded all of our expectations for viewership. The game averaged 13 million using only Nielsen's ratings. That's a 47% increase from last year's Week 2 game between Washington and New York. I mean, again, that's Chiefs, Chargers. I think everybody thought and still thinks those two teams are playoff teams. AFC West is the best division of football. So, to be fair, Giants, Commanders, or whatever they were last year.
Football team.
Football team last year. Check this out. It was also the most watched program across broadcast or cable, with CBS Young Sheldon coming in second at 3.5 million. How about that?
I like that show's been on forever.
It was supposed to be like a prelude before the Big Bang. Did we need that? Did we need that? A lot of people like it though. I didn't think we needed a Sheldon, like a young version of Sheldon, but there it is. So it's good. Expect more commercials. The ratings are there, so the commercials will follow. The NFL warns Tampa Bay Buccaneers Bruce Arians over his sideline conduct in Week 2. You saw him. He's all over the sideline. I'm like, wait, I thought you weren't the coach. You're sitting there. You're front and center. You're prowling up and down the sidelines. Well, the NFL didn't like what he had to do as far as maybe instigating some of that fight. They sent former Bucs coach Bruce Arians a warning about his conduct on the sidelines in Sunday's game against the Saints, telling him future similar conduct will result in discipline for him and the club. Arians, who now works in the Bucs front office as senior assistant to general manager, was on the sideline during the win. He became very animated when Marcus Lattimore was and Tom Brady were going at it, and when Lattimore wasn't called for pass interference. And then Tom Brady got upset because it had Lattimore jawing back at Bruce Arians. Tom Brady catches it, starts yelling, and then Mike Evans comes in. Dude, I feel like Tom, Bruce Arians, whatever, should cover the fine for Mike Evans, don't you think? Like, he's back. You heard it. Like, you can read his lips telling the ref. He's like, dude, it's Tom Brady. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to bat for my guy.
Yeah, and Lattimore was also in the face of Leonard Fournette, too.
Yeah.
So, and that's not a guy you want to go up against.
No.
Big Lenny.
Did you like what Tom Brady did, though? He starts jawing, but he doesn't. He's not getting into a fight.
It kind of looked like he just, like, stood there and was like, come on, dude, I want you to hit me.
He didn't back down. I will say this. A lot of people are like, he started the fight, and these guys come and finish. Well, Tom didn't back down. He was jawing. He was walking right up to him.
I mean, we know Tom Brady's a big trash talker on the field.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's earned it, but also, don't talk to Tom Brady.
No, and Evans is like, dude, give me a reason, Lattimore. Give me a reason, dude. Oh, there it is. Bam! I was waiting for it all. Those two hate each other. They were begging for an opportunity for that.
Reminds me of, who was that? Odell and the Panthers corner?
Oh, yes. Why can't I think of his name? That was some good football, though. Watching
I remember
them
that Giants-Panthers game. Mm. They were fighting every single play.
It was so fun to watch. I love a good cornerback-wide receiver battle like that. Crazy. Just absolutely nuts. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is day-to-day. Says he's feeling more comfortable, says Coach Brandon. Josh Norman. We got that from...
That was it.
Tenor of Good Morning Northern Colorado. I think that kind of battle is so much fun. to watch back and forth. But Herbert is day-to-day, feeling more comfortable, says Chargers coach Brandon Staley. Man, I wondered if that was going to be a mistake by them to leave him in that game, especially with like a minute and a half and they're down two scores. You know, the likelihood of them coming back doesn't look good. He couldn't even like run a yard. He was hurting so bad.
He could barely lift his arm like over his shoulder.
How did he throw a touchdown pass at the end? How did he do that? My respect factor for old Herbie is going up, bro. I like Herbie. That dude's tough as nails. And I think he earned some respect on Amazon Prime. No? No, you're not? No
not
respect?
For me. I'm not a Herbert guy.
Why are you not a Herbie guy?
Take a guess.
Oh, because of where he played college?
No, I care less about Oregon. More about where he was picked in the draft and who was picked in front of him and who he gets constantly compared to for no reason.
I don't.
He didn't throw six touchdowns. I don't know.
You got to learn to be. Listen, I'm a Broncos fan.
But I can respect his play.
You can, like,
I just don't
enjoy
like it.
Other people. You can do it, Angel. You can enjoy others.
Just going off
you.
Of this, like Josh Allen had an interview and they asked him about Tua.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm super proud of him. He's, you know, balling out. That's great. He's gone through adversity, all of that. And I'm like, Josh, please stop. I want to hate you this week.
See? They get
you. He's such a good guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. And he's fun to watch. He's entertaining. He's so athletic. He's dreamy. All that stuff. Yeah, a little dreamy. Josh Allen, dreamy. He's a handsome gentleman. You never thought of it that way. Now you're thinking of it that way.
No.
You're welcome.
Because Jimmy G keeps popping into my head.
Yeah, well.
That Subway commercial.
Jimmy
like,
G, yeah. I mean, dude, they all love Jimmy G, by the way. You know, they're just... You think San Francisco, like, the locker room's happy about this?
Oh, yeah. I saw a clip, and it was after Jimmy made his, like, first pass or something, and the entire team was, like, patting him on the head. They love Jimmy.
Okay, so Nick Wagner of... ESPN 49ers. So he's a beat writer for ESPN, but specifically on the Niners. Released this story. I got a chance to interview him yesterday. Great read. And it outlines the journey that Jimmy Garoppolo went through. So basically, he does a Zoom call at the end of the NFC Championship game. They lost, right? And he basically said, hey, I'm going to miss you guys. Thanks for everything. It's been a fun ride. Really appreciate it. So long. He said farewell right there. He's like, I'm out. I'm done. I see the writing on the wall. I know what their plans are. I know they ultimately want to. I know they want to go with Trey Lance. So I get it. He elects to have off-season shoulder surgery, which injuries have been, they've plagued him a little bit. However, before that, the Washington Commanders were very interested in getting him. Like, it was going to be him. They wanted him over Carson Wentz at that point. But then when Jimmy G elected to have the shoulder surgery, the Commanders backed out. And they went, ugh, I don't know. Don't trust it. So they backed out. They went for Carson Wentz. And then a bunch of other teams were calling, but no, there were no real offers ever. John Lynch is like, hey, dude, the guy can throw. He's throwing for us every day. You know, they were trying to get him a good spot. And again, from what I read in that article from Wagner, was like, the Shanahan and John Lynch did everything right by Jimmy Garoppolo. He was very happy with it. They were treating him right. You know, he understood. I just think Garoppolo's a good dude. Like, I'm actually, reading that article, you go... He's not, like, bitter at all. They replaced him with a younger quarterback, with a new quarterback that they think they can be better. They're basically saying, Jimmy G, you're the reason we're not going deeper. We're a good team, but we got to get the quarterback. I mean, they've been in the NFC Championships 2 years in a row, or 2 out of 4 years.
They were in a Super Bowl.
3 years ago. But it wasn't really because of Garoppolo, though, right? They're the one team, they're like the one good team in the NFL. It's a constant playoff team where the quarterback's not the biggest deal. It's their defense. It's their run game. It's Deebo Samuel doing crazy things. I mean, they have the two best tackles in the league. But they said, hey, we want to get better. We want to have the quarterback now. If we can have the quarterback, we're going to have everything. So they elect to make Trey Lance the guy, start building around him, change things up. Jimmy G understood that. And then John Lynch isn't getting any takers because of the shoulder thing. So Lynch goes to Kyle Shanahan's office one day, and he's like, hey, Trey's good, you know. Nobody's really biting on Jimmy Garoppolo here. Do we dare ask him to take a pay cut? See if he'll stick around? And I guess Kyle Shanahan, again, according to this article, he goes, he's not going to do that. There's no way. Like, yeah, I'd love to have him as backup. That'd be awesome. But there's no freaking way. Shanahan sleeps on it, calls John and goes, hey, let's go for it. Let's ask him. Let's go ask him. Because that's a tough question to ask, isn't it? Like, you go, you basically tell Jimmy Garoppolo he's not your guy anymore. They're going to go with Trey Lance. And then you have to come back and say, hey, will you stay with us as a backup and take a pay cut and sign a no-trade clause and all that stuff? We won't franchise tag you or anything like that, knowing you'll be our backup. And Garoppolo could have said no. He could have waited until, you know, a couple weeks into the season when a player goes down, a quarterback goes down. I thought the Jets might be in it, someone interested, but I thought Seattle might be interested. But they weren't. And so he slept on it, talked to his agent, and it's like, all right, let's do it. And then Brian Griese, the quarterback's coach, has to go in and address the elephant in the room. Basically, let me rewind. Before Brian Griese, Shanahan assembles like 15 key players on the team. Like, captains, leaders of the team. Sits down with them all and is like, hey, are you guys good with this? Because the dynamic, like, we know you like Jimmy G. Is that going to put pressure on Trey Lance? Do you guys, is this good? And they all said, yeah, we love Jimmy Garoppolo, but we believe in Trey Lance too. So let's do it. Let's go for it. And then Shannon says, all right. So Jimmy G shows up to work the next day as the backup. Brian Griese sits down in the quarterback's room with everybody and says, hey, this is Trey's team. Jimmy Garoppolo's the backup. It's not going to be awkward. This is the most awkward part. We're moving forward. Everybody's ready to go. And then players were like, dude, he's out there with the scout team. This is crazy. However, dude, it goes to show you how well John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, almost called him Mike, how well they've assembled this team. You have a bunch of guys that are bigger. They're not bigger than the game. And they're like, yeah, we can make it work with Trey. We can make it work with Jimmy G. But my respect level for Jimmy Garoppolo, like, he could have been bitter and fought this and tried to just get paid and whatever. You got to release me. But he said, hey, Trey Lance has got my back. I got his.
It's like a opposite of what happened with Baker Mayfield almost.
No question. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't gonna stand for that. Like, he wanted out, which I get. Like, the Deshaun Watson thing, he's like, dude, come on.
Yeah, it's a totally different reason and context.
But there's stuff, but too. But you're right.
The situation is similar.
The situation is similar. But what a story. And that's why I'm terrified for Sunday Night Football. Not necessarily about the Broncos. Like I said earlier, I think they're going to fix some of these little things. But the storyline is there for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's the good guy that everybody loves. And, you know, he's handsome, charming. Everybody loves this dude. He stuck it out in San Francisco. And now he has an opportunity to be the starter again. And to help lead this team maybe back to the NFC Championship. Meanwhile, the Broncos storyline is, can they get a play-in on time? Will the crowd boo and count down? Will they fumble? Will Montrell Washington get out for a punt return? San Francisco's got the pretty darling story. The Broncos have the, ooh, got to get this stuff cleaned up, man. Very bad stuff happening. 20 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, Let's talk more about this matchup, what to expect between the Broncos and the 49ers. Also, I have my Thursday night special coming up. We got Cleveland, we got Pittsburgh tonight. So very much looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's time to get down, dirty up my knees in the battle. Oh, come on, round up, the boys gonna make the walls rattle.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Fire. 25 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Do want to thank another great sponsor of the show and just somebody that we really love working with, and that's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their sports medicine physicians have been the official orthopedic group for the Colorado Eagles since 2003. And, you know, that goes to show you right there. I mean, they're working with some amazing, amazing athletes, getting them up to speed with those Colorado Eagles. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check out their website, orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, this San Francisco team, quarterback aside, they have everything. I mean, defensively, led by Nick Bosa, they are just studs. They can run the ball. And the other thing is, dude, you know they're running the ball against you. They're just that good. When you have those kind of tackles on your team, you can do whatever the hell you want. I mean, just absolutely. Trent Williams and Mike McGlinchey. I mean, maybe the best tackle combo in all of the NFL. They can just outwork you, outmuscle you. And that is going to be a little bit of a scary thing for the Broncos, especially with like Josie Jewell. Although the defensive line has played pretty well. And that's been the big positive, is that this line has been kind of lights out for Denver. Denver's defense has been very good. Aside from that first half against Seattle, the defense has been pretty good. So you definitely like what you're seeing there. But this is going to be a tough battle. And Deebo Samuel, like that guy, they can get so creative with him. It's weird. They're like a traditional offense, except for that fact. Like Deebo Samuel, it's like this hard-nosed Mike Shanahan style that Kyle adopted to... Oh, but we have this X factor here. That's what makes them so lethal. This traditional, you know, we're going to run the ball down your throat. We got a great defense, but we also have this X factor. And that makes them a scary team. And that was the whole idea, was like, hey, with all of that, and if we can get Trey Lance, a guy we traded a lot for, to get up and move up in the draft, then we could be the best team in football. Now, didn't really feel like it was working that way. Now you got Jimmy Garoppolo with something to prove. This is a scary combination Sunday night for Denver.
Yeah, if you just, you know, go look in the past 4 or 5 years, the Niners have always been in the top 10, possibly top 5 in rushing, you know, over a full season, per game, per rusher, whichever. And that's just attributed to the way, you know, Shanahan sets up his offense, using motion, using the running game, using, you know, specific things to get one defensive player out of position. Your linebacker makes a misstep to the left. Oh, the play's going right, and it's past you. It's a touchdown. So this offense is very good at attacking your weaknesses, getting you out of position so that you make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think Denver's defense is good enough to limit those mistakes against a Jimmy G that hasn't practiced with this team as much. You know, he was on the scout team. He was off to the side just throwing passes around. So I think there's definitely going to be a battle there. The defense, you're worried about that front seven.
Yeah, no question, man. I mean, they can, and that's the thing, Garrett Bowles is going to have his work cut out for him with Mr. Bosa. Like, that's an interesting matchup. And then watch Trent Williams on the other side against Bradley Chubb. And I think Bradley Chubb has had a decent start to the season. He had 2 sacks in that Seattle game. Didn't get a sack last week. But then you saw Randy Gregory. He came up with some big plays. So I'm very happy with the defensive line for Denver, but the offensive line for the Broncos, they've been moving guys around in the run game, and that's what you love to see. Pass protection, yeah, it's been a little dicey at times. So we're going to find out, you know, if the Broncos can hold up to this San Francisco team. Other than the quarterback position, you know, they have that tremendous roster. So we're going to find out what Russell Wilson and company can do at home. Big Sunday night football game. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we got the Thursday night special coming up. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Who's it going to be? The Browns are favored by 4 at home at this point. So find out next. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Thursday night special on Amazon Prime that had 15.3 million viewers last Thursday. People were watching Albert Michaels and Kirby Herbstreit. I can't help it. I screwed up Mr. Kirk's nickname. Is it Kirk or is it Kirk? Okay, because now it's in my head.
Kirk
Herbstreit. Kirked. Like Kirked Cousins. Right? Is that right?
I think that's the same way. Same spelling. Different dialect.
All right, Thursday night special. Let's go. Let's get to this. Angel, I need my build up. I need my music. Pittsburgh. The most exciting team. No. The 32nd most exciting team in the NFL. Behind Mitch Trubisky. I mean, dude, if you're not... Angel, tell me right now, what gets you more excited than 21 of 33? 168. One touchdown and a pick. And sacked 3 times. What gets you more excited than that? 168, dude!
I mean, that's just... it's unheard of performance.
Wow. Pittsburgh, of course, loses to the Pats last week. Najee Harris, he had 15 carries for 49 yards. Nothing to write home about, man. You got to get that guy going. Mitch Trubisky, is he on a short leash at this point? Because you're talking to picket fence here, and if it's a bad night tonight for Pittsburgh, you got a long week. This is what we always say. If you're going to make changes, why not do it after a Thursday night? Because now you got a long week to get him ready to go for the next game. So we'll see what they do there. Now, on the other end, for the Browns, hey, I'll be honest. I'm surprised the Browns are 1-1 at this point. They should be 2-0, but, I mean, dude, going up against Joe Flacco.
Dude's elite, man.
He's elite. He's a legend. He gets it. I mean, all he did was throw for 307 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Browns and scoring, what'd they score, like 13 points in 2 minutes or whatever that was? To come back and beat the Browns 31-30. So the Browns very well could be 2-0. But they lose to the Jets. Nick Chubb is becoming one of my guys. Angel, did you see his Batman video thingy that he did? It was so good. Go back and search it, man. Because he's like, this is my city. He doesn't really do the voice, but he does it like a Batman setting. And he's looking out over Cleveland in the darkness. And he's like, this is my city. And these people are tired of losing. And so am I. And then it's like a montage of him training. And I'm like getting goosebumps talking about it. He had 87 yards last week, but 3 touchdowns. That guy gets it. That guy gets it. Jacoby Brissett, I mean, okay. Yeah. Not really. Is this the least exciting quarterback battle of the year, perhaps?
I think so.
Jacoby Brissett. Mitch Trubisky. Thursday night. The right way. Boy. The Browns are 4-point favorites. 4-point favorites at home. Does that shock you? Does nobody believe in the Steelers after that loss to the Patriots? Is it Brownie the Elf that's scaring people away? I don't believe in the Steelers, and I love Mike Tomlin. But I used to like Mitch Trubisky. I really did. But, you know, his days and his one good year in Chicago kind of got me going. Boy. Kind of gone back and forth on this one. But I like the Browns to cover 4 tonight. Cleveland. He's getting the win. Samuel Jackson's right. Hold on to him. Let's go.
Who let the dogs out?
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
Who let the dogs out?
Launches touchdown, and Cooper was all by himself.
Feeling strong, my friend. Call me Elf one more time.
Comes Chubb. He's got blockers. Chubb, the cutback. Chubb, lunging. Touchdown. Just incredible from Chubb.
So I suggest you wipe that stupid smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off.
Yes. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's
Brownie.
Head, and then eventually swings it and hits him.
He's an angry elf.
He is going to be an angry elf. He looks cute on the field. But you're gonna get this Steelers team. Mitch Trubisky's gonna be like, what? What? What's going on out here? I'm gonna run for 2 yards. Nope, sorry, gonna go back 2 more. Yes. The biggest, weirdest mascot combination in all of football. The Cleveland Browns are kind of the dogs, but also we have an elf.
They should just be dogs.
Or an elf. Choose one or the other.
I like dogs.
Cleveland Brownies.
I love the idea of the dog pound and that bulldog logo they have. I love that. Get rid of the helmet. I'm tired of it. Change
Put
something.
Put a logo on there?
Yes. I know you want to be traditional, historic, and all that, but you've been terrible your entire time.
Maybe you need a logo. Maybe
something
you need a
different.
Logo. What kind of... Would it be a bulldog then? An orange bulldog?
Well, I keep the orange helmet, do that bulldog logo. Love that.
And then get rid
of
Brownie?
Dog pound going, yeah.
Scrape Brownie off the field?
Yeah, you get a live mascot, do everything. You're not going to find an elf out there.
We don't know that for sure. We don't know that for sure, Angel. Have you proven that we can't find an elf out there?
I've never seen an elf.
Well, that's because they're, you know.
On the shelf, maybe.
They're magical. Elves, as we know, are magical. So they can avoid being seen if they must. Seriously, dude, you will appreciate, because you're a Batman guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Go watch the, search it, see if you can find it, and we'll play some of it. It is good. It makes me, like, want to root for Nick Chubb even more. Does he go off tonight? Which running back has a better chance of going off tonight?
I mean, I got to go with my guy. From beautiful Antioch, California, Najee Harris.
I mean, he's what did he do the first week? Did he have a big game the first week? He's another one that I really like rooting for. They said, like, after practice, he's always running hills. As soon as everybody's gone, he's still out there running hills. He had 23 yards against the Bengals. So not the start you're looking for him. Of course, last week was better than what he did against Cincinnati. People were kind of high on the Steelers coming into the season, weren't they? A little bit. So not like high on, like, this team's going to be a Super Bowl contender, but they're going to be much better than where they were last season. And I'm not there.
I think a lot of that was mostly because of their defense, obviously, with Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt. And that shows what kind of impact Watt had on that team. Now he's out for some time. And that defense took a step back last week against the Patriots, who really aren't that good. The offense isn't anything to write home about.
No.
Claypool's all right. Najee's awesome, but he's not used as well. And you got your quarterback, Trubisky, Mason Rudolph the reindeer, and picket fence.
You have Rudolph the reindeer and Brownie the elf tonight. All we need is Santa Claus.
Well, we just need it's a Christmas special.
Let's get Lovie Smith over to this game.
Is it snowing in Cleveland?
Probably. Probably will be.
Let's get fake snow.
Yes. Dixon says, Brady, a little late to the party this week because I'm still hungover from last Thursday night. I know you picked the Chiefs, but not sure if they covered. They didn't.
Backdoor.
I got backdoored. Stupid, meaningless touchdown that did nothing for anybody.
Another reason not to like Herbert.
Yeah, you're right. That touchdown
always
meant
gets
nothing.
The backdoor cover.
Yeah, stop it, Herbie. Admit I was a little scared about the curse of Mr. Thursday night last week, but I'm back for more. Can't wait. What your excitement level? Scale from 1 to 10 for this game tonight. 10 being like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. 1 being like, probably won't even watch it.
It's not very high. If it's because it's the only NFL game on tonight, I think there's some college games tonight too. I will probably be watching this football game. Unless it's bad, then I will gladly watch anything else.
I mean, I like matchups like Fitzpatrick, but I want to watch Nick Chubb. What do you have tonight? What is college football have in store for us tonight? West Virginia and Virginia Tech. Coastal Carolina and Georgia State, Chattanooga and Illinois. Anything get you going? West Virginia, Virginia Tech's on ESPN.
Check that game out.
Yeah. It
starts about 45 minutes before NFL kickoff. So
Chattanooga.
Tennessee.
Yeah. They're 3-0. They are 3-0.
The Mox.
Yeah. And Illinois, team that beat up on Wyoming, right? In the first game. 2-1. A little battle there tonight. Excited for that one. No, I'm looking forward to this one. What's so Friday night, man, Air Force playing on Friday night again.
Against Nevada.
They're 24-point favorites. That's going to be fun tomorrow, isn't it, dude? Is Air Force not as good as we thought, or is Wyoming just much better than we thought?
I think both, maybe. I think Air Force just caught Wyoming in just a good streak of, you know, good football, a couple of good wins. And Wyoming just at home in that environment, they just played their tails off, and that defense is legit.
And that running
back. Say
what
you want. That defense is good, and Swin is a very good running back.
Is Swin a NFL running back?
I think so.
He outshined
Brad
Roberts in
that game. The more I watch him, I'm watching too much Wyoming football, but yes.
Do you like watching Wyoming football?
It's interesting.
Because it's a lot like, it's like Air Force, but take out all the triple options.
Sure.
Like, they're just going to run
the ball. It's a hard-nosed, physical, you know, we're going to beat you kind of team.
If you can get, if that works and you can get like Titus Swen type running back, yeah, I'm into that. Like, I don't really like the whole.
Beasley hasn't been awful.
No. That first game he was bad, but outside of that, yeah, he beat Tulsa. He beat the Bears. And then our boy, we'll probably get Cody Tucker on the show tomorrow because we missed him earlier this week. He kind of called it. And I know, he admits it. He's like, I'm close to it, so I get excited, but I think they're going to turn this thing upside down, the Mountain West. And they kind of did. And now Air Force, they got work to do. And I know, again, that's a big loss or a big mix-up in this conference. Just makes me really hope that CSU can get it figured out. They got Sac State on Saturday. Why am I freaked out about that game?
Big Sky team, top 10 FCS program.
Well, and they lost to bad teams last year. That I thought, oh, these are all get-right games. They're going to be just fine. And they didn't. There was no such thing as a get-right game for CSU the last few seasons. Let me go back. I'm looking. South Dakota State. They lost 42-23.
Lost to South Dakota State last year?
Yeah, South Dakota State. And then Vanderbilt. They were up in that game, but they ended up losing 24-21. Weird year for them last year. You know, that was the crazy season because that was like, they lose their first two. Oh, nobody cares about this team. They beat Toledo on the road, and then they go to Iowa and actually were almost up at the half or something like that. But Iowa kind of plays those kind of games, you know? We're not going to cover a lot of spreads in Iowa. It's just about winning. 47 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show. On the other side, it's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. You're not feeling it? You're not feeling the Thursday night special? You're not liking the Browns? The Pittsburgh's offense is just eek. And again, you're really hoping Harris gets going, but that's it. Like, Mitch Trubisky has not crossed over the 200-yard mark in the first two games.
I'm just seeing this as like a 10-7 ball game. Very slow, kind of boring. I just don't know. I'm not really excited about Pittsburgh-Cleveland.
I know. Is this Browns crowd going to be pumped? Is the Brownie thing getting enough play there in Cleveland?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Cleveland fans. They're loyal for something.
They are. They're definitely loyal. Jacoby Brissett, you know, he's in a weird spot. Placeholder. He's just in that placeholder position until Deshaun gets back. All right, what's on tonight? We talked about some of the college football games on. San Francisco and Colorado are playing right now, and you might be shocked by this. San Francisco's up 1-0 at this point. So,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not looking fantastic right there for the Rocks, but season's almost up. Right, I think we're ready. I think we're just kind of ready to get this thing over with for the Rockies.
Been ready since July.
Yeah, me too. Closing thoughts today. Broncos have to get it figured out because on Sunday night, you don't want to be embarrassed. Not saying like it's must win. I felt like the Houston game was must win, but it's must fix problems because you can't have this on national TV. And those of you that just think, oh, the idea of Nathaniel Hackett being one and done. Listen, I get it's crazy, but if he loses, if he only wins like 5 games with Russell Wilson, you're in trouble. I mean, the conversation has to be had. You have new owners that were not a part of hiring anybody there. George, Nathaniel, none of those guys. They spent a lot of money to buy a football team. And that football team is the laughingstock of the NFL right now. I'm serious, dude. I know there's bad teams, but because of the issues in the first 2 weeks, that's the laughingstock. It doesn't mean they're the worst team. It just means that when you talk about the Broncos, you're bringing up all of their issues, all of their penalties.
Bad teams are bad. Supposedly good teams are not where they're supposed to be.
Yes. So it's a big topic of discussion. Broncos have to do their best to erase that narrative. And there's one way to do it. There's one way to really do it. And that's pull off an upset, because they are dogs in this game. Not the Cleveland dogs, just underdogs. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Football Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado. Rams Weekly is coming up at 5.